February 17th. This is Ray Kestenbaum. I'm at the home of Mr. Harold T. Freese, the former director of research in radio and electronics at the Homedale and Murray Hill Laboratories. Mr. Freese, for how long a period were you Jansky's supervisor?
For all the years, Jansky was in the Bell Laboratories.
Now, how many years is that, approximately?
Started 1928 and ended at his death in 1949?
He died at the age of 44.
I think he died.
It was 1950, was it? 49?
I think 49.
Was this all at the Homedale Laboratory?
All at the Homedale Laboratory. No, pardon me. It started, Carl Jansky started with me down at the Cliffwood Laboratory.
What year was this?
28. And in 1930, we moved to the Homedale Laboratory.
I see. There were two outstanding laboratories in those days, the Cliffwood and the Deer.
There was the Cliffwood and the Deer Laboratory, and then we closed the Cliffwood and moved to the big Homedale Laboratory.
I see. What did you think of Carl Jansky professionally? That is, did you think of him as a good engineer? Was he
an extremely good engineer?
Was he dedicated to science? To his work?
Dedicated to his work, very competent, and a very nice, pleasant fellow.
I understand he considered himself as a physicist rather than an engineer.
I don't know. I think his father was a physicist, and maybe he did consider himself as a physicist. I don't know whether you know the trouble he had getting into the Bell Lab.
No, I don't. Could you tell us
about
that?
The medical department rejected him because of a chronic ailment. But then his brother, a well-known radio engineer in Washington, M.J. Monroe.
Cyril, is that?
No, M. I think it's J.M. Jansky.
Uh-huh.
He talked with the president of the company and asked him whether his father couldn't get a job out in the country where he wouldn't have to work too hard. And the president agreed to that, and then he was placed down at my laboratory at Cliffwood, New Jersey.
Did he get along well with his co-workers? What did the people think of him?
He got along extremely well with all his co-workers.
Coming back to his work, Mr. Freese, when he was assigned the project on static, measuring static, what was he expected to accomplish in this work?
He was expected to find out what is the level, of static noise. How bad is it? How much power do we need in our transmitter? I mean, this is the same in all communication circuits. You must know, you know, the signal to noise ratio in order to get a good signal. So the idea was to measure how much noise have we got and from what directions does it come.
And what type of noise?
And what type of noise?
Source of like noise. When he came across his discovery of the extragalactic source, the Milky Way noise, how did you feel about his discovery at that time? In other words, when he pinpointed it to a certain direction in the universe, and it was known at that time that it's not of terrestrial source, how did you feel about it?
We and all my workers felt that it was a wonderful contribution, and I still feel so. And I also feel that it was a contribution worth the Nobel Prize, if the Nobel Prize committee, you know, at that time had realized the importance of it, then he would probably have gotten it.
You think that a Nobel Prize was due to Carl Jansky for the work he did on this?
Yes.
about the publicity on this. You know, the New York Times had this on page one, and Carl Jansky was given an interview in WJZ at the time. Was the management happy at the time?
Yes, I think Cuomo publicity department did a wonderful job.
Did he? Did Carl Jansky show a deep interest in the subject of radio astronomy, the thing that he discovered?
He certainly did.
Mm-hmm. Then actually now, he discontinued this work, and what I want to know here is why did he discontinue pursuing studies in radio astronomy, something which was deemed so important?
It was deemed important later, not at that time. We were very happy to get the ultimate, you know, the level, the lowest noise we could expect to get at that time. See? And Jansky continued working with noise. He didn't stop noise studies, you know, at the time that he had detected star noise.
Did you feel at that time when he discovered the noise coming from the Milky Way that it was a very important subject? So something out of the unusual? It was more important than the study of static? Or did you feel that he should continue studying the problems in static?
I felt at that time that he had finished the job of studying static. I myself had been interested in static since 1919. I got my first introduction to static work way back in 21, for instance, when I visited Professor Wilson at Cambridge University in England, you know, and talked about static with Professor, now Professor Appleton at Cambridge too, and I continued being interested in static there. I made a static recorder. I made a receiving set that was very sensitive, the most sensitive receiving set you had at that time. That was in 28. And so when Jansky joined us, and I talked with him what job would he like, he gladly, you know, accepted my idea. For my suggestion that he should work at the static. And
he volunteered for that. He wanted that job.
He wanted it. There was no disagreement whatsoever. He liked it. And on the other hand, we must remember that he had trouble with his ailment, you know. I was told to go very easy on Jansky, and I did. And that is now not, he mustn't exert himself too much, you know, things like that. But as a matter of fact, might interest you that I became very close to Jansky and his family.
Personally.
My wife and I became close friends. We saw each other socially all the time, coming to dinner and things. And we got so close that my wife was asked to be godmother to the little girl they got.
Let me ask you this, Mr. Friis. Would Jansky have continued with the subject of radio astronomy if he had not been requested to stop this? Now, this question is predicated on the fact that management did ask him to stop discontinue his work in radio astronomy. Is this a fact? Is this true?
The fact is management never asked him to stop work on radio astronomy.
Would you explain that point? Actually, why did he stop, and under what conditions did he stop?
He stopped because he had done a wonderful job, and he felt that his contribution, you see, was so big. And time wasn't a fight to continue the work. That is, the technique of having receiving sense that would detect this static, this noise, wasn't good enough yet. You had to wait until you had better receivers to continue work doing at work at shorter wavelengths.
In other words, he had the interest in radio astronomy. He did discover this single isolated source coming from the Milky Way.
Right.
He did want to continue this type of work, but he felt the technology wasn't up to date yet to do this.
I think this is a true statement of the situation.
Did he ever in his career subsequently express an interest in continuing the study of radio astronomy?
When later Mr. Reber, you have probably heard about Grote
Reber,
Reber,
yeah.
Old Reber, also detected star noise at a longer wavelength. I think it was at a shorter wavelength. Gansky, you know, got his star noise at around 15 meter wavelengths. Reber got his noise at 2 meter wavelengths. And when Gansky heard about that, he was very happy. He thought, this is wonderful that somebody else now, 5 years after I detected a noise at 15 meters, and somebody else now has detected it at 2 meters and confirmed my findings.
I see. So in that sense, Grote Reber was the only one immediately after Jansky who was working on radio astronomy, and when Grote Reber came up with his results, Jansky did express an interest in Reber's results.
Certainly.
Did he express a desire to continue this work in the laboratory? Do you recall whether he did?
I do not recall that he did. I don't know whether you have yet talked with John Schilling. John Schilling once recalled a conversation with Jansky about Reber's work. And John Schilling asked Jansky, don't you feel badly about not having done this? And Jansky answered, no, I skimmed the cream. See, don't forget that Jansky at that time was doing other important work. He was doing work on how can you make really good receivers,
mm-hmm.
how can you, and he measured reflections, radar reflections, and things like that. And you know, during the war, he got into some secret work, some Navy jobs, direction finding work.
In other words, I get the impression from you, Mr. Priest, that Jansky, he was doing work in static, and then he came across this radio astronomy thing. And at the time, he thought this was fine, this was wonderful. But the importance of it really came to bear later, and many years later. Is this what you're saying?
That's what I'm saying.
And he didn't consider radio astronomy any more important than his work on static.
Right.
So the fact that he discontinued working on radio astronomy just meant he shifted his emphasis back into the work he was doing traditionally, which is static,
because
measurements and static.
Yes, and noise.
So it's not true to say that anyone asked him to stop.
No, nobody ever asked him to stop.
Yeah.
He had a free hand.
Yes. Are you familiar, Mr. Priest, with John Pfeiffer's book, The Changing Universe?
Yes.
I guess you read this.
Yes, I read.
You know what he mentioned about...
Yes.
Where would Mr. Pfeiffer have received this information from?
Well, Mr. Pfeiffer visited us.
Yeah.
I distinctly remember his visit down at Homedale. And I got all the people together in my office that knew Jansky well. I think Mr. Pfeiffer's visit was around 54,
yes.
Or something like that. And he asked us about, and most of the statements that Mr. Pfeiffer has made in the book are true.
Even the one which he...
Some of them.
Yes.
Where he mentioned what he got from the family, I don't consider true.
Particularly, would you say, the statement when he said that Bell Laboratories did not permit him to continue his work? Yeah,
that was definitely not true.
That's false.
That's false.
Where do you think he got that misinformation? What would be the source of that?
The way I look at it, this is here, Gansky's discovery, his wonderful discovery, became extremely important 20 years after he did it. And evidently his family was starting to think, say, why wasn't Carl Gansky in on this? More in on this. Why didn't he contribute more? There must have been something there that the Bell people wouldn't let him do things. And that was not true. Mm. It was just the facts are that the radio astronomy now, you know, was based on microwave technique.
Yes.
The microwave technique that was developed during the Second World War, and that didn't exist when Gansky worked, you know, with his in his first experiment. You had to wait there for the techniques. You had to wait for big antennas to be available and used, you know, and for microwave receiving sets to be available in order to do things. One thing that another thing that Pfeiffer mentioned in his book is that Gansky wanted a big paraboloid.
Dish antenna.
Dish antenna. And that management would not approve of that. This is all fiction. Big paraboloids didn't exist at those times. Nobody ever thought of them. Mm. Nobody would ever. It's just something, you know, 20 years after that, Pfeiffer said he must just have invented it.
Did you meet Pfeiffer?
I met him at that time.
I see.
Unfortunately, copy.
The draft before...
A draft before he published his book.
Publishing. Mr. Friess, would you consider, by and large, a copy of the original documentation of early history in radio astronomy by G.C. Southworth, would you consider this more or less an accurate account?
Yes, it's a very good, straight, accurate account of Gansky's work.
Fine.
I would like to get back
to
this other thing mentioned in Pfeiffer's book. Yes. Mr. Pfeiffer mentioned a letter written in the spring of 36. At that time, Gansky wanted to leave his position. He thought of working at the State University of Iowa, but only if he was given freedom to go ahead with his studies in radio astronomy.
You're quoting now from the book?
I'm quoting from the book, yes. Pfeiffer mentioned that was something very special, you know. He was dissatisfied, you know, working at the Bell Lab. That doesn't so. All my boys, all my good boys, they always talked about, shouldn't we go to university and work? Wouldn't it be nicer to work, to be a professor at a university than working at the Bell Lab? I consider this thing here, you know, just very natural. The boys that they talked about, should we go to university? Matter of fact, several of my boys left for university work.
The fact that there was a depression at that time, did that mean that equipment was scarce to obtain? I mean, if he would have put in a request for something expensive, it could possibly be turned down because of the...
I'm sure that Carl Gansky realized that if he had joined Ohio. No, he wasn't.
University of Iowa.
University of Iowa. he realized that he would not have been able to get the support for work on radio astronomy.
At the university?
At the university.
Please continue.
Well, that's the main thing.
Yeah.
It's just those three points mentioned in that.
I see.
And to that I cannot... It's very difficult because I haven't seen those letters that Pfeiffer said he saw, you see. I know that Dansky's father, he was professor, you know, Wisconsin.
In what field?
In physics.
In physics.
He visited us at home then. As far as I recall, several times he would visit his boy, you know, and then he would come out to home then and visit. He never made any remarks about that Dansky didn't have enough support for his work.
Fine. Is there anything else you want to add about Dansky? Perhaps something about his personality? Any outstanding thing which might have been a conflict or... You did mention his relations with his co-workers were excellent, and everybody got along with him.
Dansky was a wonder. He was not aggressive.
He was not aggressive?
No. Dansky was certainly not aggressive. He was not like lots of other people.
Mm-hmm.
Was not like his brother. Now, his brother in Washington, C.M. Dansky, he is a very aggressive, had built up a good business there on radio measurement, radio field strength measurements and things. And it's a very aggressive, a big, big fellow.
Mm-hmm.
Dansky was a little fellow and not aggressive at all.
And he was interested in radio. He was an expert in radio measurement.
Right.
And he was in the area that he wanted to do. Whether it was static or radio astronomy, this was his area.
Yes.
And this is what he wanted to do. Yeah. Well, that's about all the questions I have, Mr. Friis, unless you can think of anything else you want to say in connection with the historical aspects of Dansky. Perhaps bring out some fine points as to... Why, for example, how did he get into this job in the first place? Why wasn't he put on to different jobs, say, in West Street? Was it?
No.
You mentioned it was his health at first.
It was his health.
Yeah.
They thought that being out in the country, that would be just the right kind of life for him, and it was.
Yes. Okay, well, thank you very much, Mr. Friis.